Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your background. How long have you lived in that area?
Okay. Actually, I moved down to the South. My father was an aerospace worker, and I moved down to the South in 1972, not far from here in a suburb of New Orleans, Slidell, Louisiana, just north of Lake Pontchartrain. And I attended high school there, and that's where I met my husband. And the year that we were married, we moved over to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That was in 1987 that I moved over here to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And I've been here ever since.
And tell me about your work as an animal rescuer. I find that admirable.
Okay. I have been involved in animal rescue basically since I was a child. You know, I was the little girl who always brought home the stray kitten and the stray puppy and drove my parents insane. I had pet, when we lived in California as a small child, I had pet horny toads and, chipmunks. And
those toads, don't they give you warts when you touch them? You've heard those stories,
right? No, not
right?
The horny toads. I've just always had a passion for animals and nature. And as a child, my lifelong dream was I was a member. I couldn't wait to be old enough. I wanted to be a member of the Save the Seals and the Save the Whales and go out whale watching. And I wanted to go and help the baby harp seals from slaughter and all of that. And my lifelong goal as a career is I wanted to be a park ranger at Sequoia National Park.
Good for you.
Well, to the grizzlies and everything else. I'm an animal. I probably in a former life I must have been a wild animal of some kind.
You might have been, but that's great. I mean, people who love animals have a special place in my heart. And you don't have to own them because have different lives, but you got to be able to love them.
I take in the unwanted too. All of my animals are special needs. I have dogs with cancer. I have blind dogs. I have amputees. I have dogs that have been horribly, horribly abused with battery acid poured on them. I have dogs with spindle cell sarcoma cancer. I have, and I also have cats, and I have cats that are deaf or have they were malformed, birth defects, and brain damage from skull fractures. And, you know, they're all special needs animals.
Look, I love animals so much, I may spend the next hour talking to you, Denise, and Robin just about animals, for crying out loud.
Oh, but I have so much important things about the oil to get out.
I know that. So tell me, were you told to evacuate or leave? Tell me about this.
Absolutely not. In the state of Mississippi, we have our illustrious Governor Barber to thank for perpetuating since the beginning. In the very beginning, before the oil even arrived on our shores, Haley Barber was out making public announcements, public service announcements, the oil was not going to, he was not going to let it happen. The oil would not be impacting the Mississippi state beaches. If it did, it would be very, very minimal, that everything was going to be just fine. Come on down, enjoy the casinos, enjoy the seafood, and promoting tourism, tourism, tourism.
Okay, so you're there. We've got the spill. What happens? How do you get this? How do you get sick?
Okay, the oil arrived here end of June. It took a little while for it to actually reach our shores. Got here in June. As a victim of Hurricane Katrina, we were in the bullseye for Hurricane Katrina. Okay, and as we evacuated for Hurricane Katrina, I drove down the beach on the way out of town to avoid the interstate parking lot. And we drove as far as we could along the coast highway, and it just, you know, before a storm, it's the calm before the storm. It was an absolutely gorgeous day. Drove all the way down the 26 miles of Mississippi State man-made beach and just took in all the sights, and it went past, like, the old historic Jefferson Davis Memorial, his home, and everything. And, you know, I've lived here all these years, never took the tour, and I said, gee, when we get home, we're going to have to take the tour and everything. And, of course, it's all gone. You know, Katrina came, the whole, it decimated, everything's gone. They've built a recreation, but it's not, you know, it's not the same. All right, when the oil explosion, I just, the word spill just doesn't roll off my tongue for this event. It's just so minimal. When the oil explosion happened, okay, immediately I went down and I started taking pictures of the beach. Because when I took off for Katrina, I wished I had taken photos that day of just how very beautiful it was. And I knew if the oil came ashore that our shores would never be the same.
Sure.
And in my mind, immediately, I pictured like in the movies after Hiroshima or something. I mean, you know, we had that. We are still very, very much in Katrina recovery. Much of my community still does not have city sewerage. We are still without a lot of infrastructure. We're just now getting street lights in some places. You know, and there's, you know, rebuilding is very, very, very slow. And so anyway, I started going down to the beach and taking pictures of the beach as it was because I knew when it came ashore, it would never, ever be the same. Little did I know just how bad it would be. I continued every day in anticipation of the oil arriving, going down and, you know, looking for signs, you know, that the oil had arrived and everything, you know. And don't ask me why. I certainly wasn't wanting it to arrive, but I was angst about the whole thing happening. And because I am, you know, again, with the animals, I'm an outdoors person. When my husband was alive, and he died just the June before, just a few months before this happened. And so I was still very much in the grieving process anyway. And I went down to the beach almost daily and would sit and just watch the sunset because that's where my husband and I spent the majority of our time. And it's like home, you know. I consider the beach as much my home as my home, my house, you know. And because we used all of our recreation there. We fished, we boated, we, you know, at least 5-6 nights a week we ate seafood and everything else. So anyway, the oil arrives. Immediately, the very day that the oil arrived on shore, I noticed when I went down there and I started, you know, getting close to the water to take pictures, burning of my eyes, burning, horrible burning in the back of my throat, lightheadedness, confusion, and I could immediately, already in the very, very beginning, I could smell that it didn't smell just like oil. It smelled like
chemical. Yeah.
Okay. So when the oil arrived on our shore, it had already been heavily, heavily sprayed with dispersant. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was not just the thick Louisiana red crude that came up. It was a watery red crude and kind of slimy. And it was obviously mixed with dispersants from the beginning.
Right.
Okay. And
tell us about some of your symptoms, Denise.
Okay. So it started, you know, with the eyes burning, the sore throat, and the head. And the confusion. Blurred vision, which continues today. That progressed as time went by to nosebleeds. I started bleeding from my ears. I started bleeding basically from all my orifices. Okay, I got broken blood vessels in my eyes, and I looked like I had been maced.
Almost like you're hemorrhaging from within.
Correct. And this was within, I'm going to say, less than 30 days of the oil arriving on shore.